Translation. Our well-wishing father, Daksha, after knowing our intentions, handed over 13 of his daughters unto you, and since then we have all been faithful. Purport of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Generally, the daughters were too shy to express their opinions before their father, but the father would accept the daughter's intentions through someone else, such as grandmother, to whom the grandchildren had the free access. King Daksha collected the opinions of his daughters and thus handed over 13 to Kashyapa. Every one of Diti's sisters was a mother of children. Therefore, since she was equally faithful to the same husband, why should she remain without children? Short purport. Okay. Jaya Srila Prabhupada, I pray all blessings to be transparent medium for at least something from this. It's interesting. All of them have children. I don't know, were they happy with all these children? Because yesterday Mataji explains how many different entities were born. Snakes and mosquitoes and demons. I don't know, were they all happy with their kids? All 60 of them. It's interesting. But anyway, again, I'll read this verse. Our well-wishing father, Daksha, after knowing our intentions, handed over 13 of his daughters unto you, and since then we have been all faithful. Yeah, they've been faithful to husband. Okay. So we spent quite some time debating over this interesting pastime. Our details. Like this is all side issues, how conception of these two demons have happened, who was wrong to induce, who was right, you know, like all these side points, how that happened, very intricate. Point is all that Lord want to sport. That's the point. Lord want to sport. He wanted to come. He arranged everything in every details of it. So that's the main thing. Like the same debates happening about any philosophy, any religion. And it's, when you think deeply, all different religions which exist in this planet, all these philosophies, they are just debates about side issues, side points, because main point is to love God, to serve Him, to surrender to Him. That's the main point. All other details, technicalities, producing so many religions are necessary. And then, you know, they claim even right, who is wrong, who is right. But these are all side issues. And only Srimad Bhagavatam points to that, therefore I'm sticking to that. I don't say this is best, this is highest, or this is correct, everything else is wrong, but this points so clearly the essence. Savai pumsam paro dharma yato bhakti adokshaje ahaitukya pratihati yatmas suprasidati. That's the goal of the religion, to satisfy the Lord by devotional service. So that's the essence. So, see what we have here. So, as you said, now we can debate who was wrong, who was right, Kashyapa or Devahuti, Diti. So, you know, Lord wanted to come and then he engaged his potencies to arrange everything, Mahamaya and Yoga Maya, to influence everybody, to create environment. So that's the point. He wanted, so they both came under Maya's influence, both of them. So that's what it is. So Maya influences mind of others to serve the purpose of the Lord. In this case, it's a special personality. You know, it can bilder us in Maya if we do all kinds of unnecessary nonsense. But these are exalted personalities to all men to create and be part of the pastime. So both of them, they were under influence of Maya. Who is Maya? Maya is again expansion of Srimati Radharani. So when you just think of it, everything is Maya. we can agree to that. Either Mahamaya or Yoga Maya. So in that sense, we are Mayavadis. Everything is Maya. There is no place where there is no Maya. Prabhupada said, show me that, where is that place? Some devotee once complained. Prabhupada think there is lots of Maya here. I don't know what he meant, maybe temple or something. He said, tell me where there is no Maya, I shall go there. There's no Maya. There's no kind of in-between space. Maybe Brahma Jyoti. You are there in some kind of zapped state, which there's nothing. Not just Maya, is nothing. It's just you exist. But anyway, there's no place where there's no Maya. So, we are Mayavadis. Everything is Maya. Don't tell to anyone. You're not Mayavadis. So how Kashyapa and Diti got under Maya's influence? We've seen towards the end of the chapter when Diti realizes her mistake and then realizes that because Durga is also her sister. See, Shiva's wife. So Shiva and Durga, they're part of that pastime also, because Durga arranges throwing potency, illusion, Yoga Maya, here is Yoga Maya. And then Shiva, he sent the demons into womb under the wish of the Supreme. Things needed to happen, so both of them serve the purpose. It's interesting there, in verse in a few days ahead, I read that apology to person who will give class on that, but said, Kashyapa was engaged in his spiritual activities, but he did not have sufficient strength to refuse his wife, who was thus afflicted. He could have refused her with strong words, expressing impossibility, but he was not as spiritually strong as Vidura. In that word that they speak to Vidura. Vidura is addressed here as a hero because no one is stronger in self-control than the devotee of the Lord. It appears that Kashyapa was already inclined to have sexual enjoyment with his wife. And because he was not a strong man, he tried to dissuade her only with pacifying words. So he was already there, but he was speaking. And now in next verse 17 onwards, then he glorifies his wife. Wife is better half of man. She's, Dharma personified. She saved the husband from any trouble. In the end, I'll definitely satisfy you. So he was kind of already conquered. He's already subjugated by her allurements to what she wanted in the first place. For example, when your mind convinces you in something, like you know something even if it's wrong, but mind finds a reason why you should, and then you go for it, and then before you know, all the reason to do something, you already have strong reason. You already chosen. You're gonna go there. You're gonna take. It can be beneficial. But most of the time, it's not even breaking principles, even, sin or whatever. So mind convinces you, and then you just find a kind of justification to that. So then you start thinking, why not? Yeah, let's go for it. And intelligence is totally silenced down. It's there, you can feel it, but you just, shut up. Shut up. It's just, just kind of put aside, and you do what you're already convinced to do. So you become attached to the idea to do, which your mind convinces you. So. And then Kashyapa later, after he spoke this, he tried once more, you know, kind of rising to points, how this inauspicious moment, this will happen, don't do it, you know, come on, you know, but he was already conquered. And then she restored to the last thing. She grabbed his garments in pulling fashion. Come on, just do it. Let's do it, and do it now. I want to know what now. And which man will resist that? If he's strong, as mentioned here, Vidura, he may. He will. So this was like, you know, so Kashyapa was conquered already by this. He saw Maya works conjointly to create that pastimes. So their proper intelligence was also silenced in that moment. Devahuti, she was not an ordinary woman. She knew also religious principles. She knew proper time, but it happened. Otherwise, if they had a little bit reason, he said in some verses before, Kashyapa said, just wait a few seconds, he said. Why not wait a few seconds or hours, whatever, you know, species time for conception? They didn't, because Kashyapa was already influenced by his wife, and his wife was already influenced, covered, to do what actually Lord wanted to do, to be part of the pastime. So, and an interesting thing also, without those of lust, even if it's for religious principles, without those of lust, there's no conception. It must be there. Like, you know, man will not be ready, he will not be aroused, whatever, proper ingredients will not be produced. So it must be, he must be those of lust, even for religious procreation. So you have to take into consideration that, otherwise it will not happen. And what did he did? After that, everything slackened down. She was ashamed. And then Kashyapa was already knew what's going to happen. She was ashamed. But then when she got information that Lord will come personally and kill her both children, she was actually happy and pacified. She was happy and pacified. And then she bore the semen of Kashyapa for 100 years in her womb to protect harassment of brahmanas and religious principles. But then that's how much she could. Then she has to give birth to this, to demons. And before, also that she mentioned that, you know, she what's her reason to persist, to persuade, to make Kashyapa lay with her? She was considering, you know, Sati or whatever, Durga, she's my sister, you know, like, they will be lenient towards me, you know, like, you know, she was my brother-in-law, you know, like, they will be lenient, they will not be so, you know, because she was warned that these inauspicious demons will be born. She was hoping that she will be closing one eye, but no, he mentioned also in that some purpose that Shiva was, no, not like that, he's going to do, sister, brother, there's no compromise. So in that sense, maybe within her, this reason was there, looking at maybe, you know, he's not auspicious, but it's me, I'm a member of family, you know. I'll kind of get around it, but it was not like that. So, okay. So now interesting, some technicalities for me is important, like in terms of this pastime. That pastimes, when Hiranyaksha, we know about the appearance of two boars, Rakta and Shukla, white and red. But in This pastimes happen in the sixth Manvantara, or Chakshush. Hiranyaksha was killed in that Manvantara. And then in first Manvantara, which is Swayambhu Manu, Manvantara, there was no Hiranyaksha, there was no Sati, there is no, you know, Devahuti Kadama. That means Hiranyaksha was not born in that time. So these are first Manvantara. And this sixth one, it's happened, they say that Varaha appeared in Satya Yuga of that Manvantara, sixth. And we are now in present seventh Manvantara. So according to Brahma's time, this just happened less than an hour ago. Because if you see, there are 14 Manus in day of Brahma, but this is only in daytime. Manus don't change during the night. Brahma sleeps. So you consider 12 hours, 14 Manvantaras. This is less than hour Manvantaras changing. So this is just recent, you know, like 1 hour ago, Varahadeva. 1 hour ago or something, you know, Diti and Kashyapa have this pastime which we read now, but it's just recent. So it's kind of interesting. If you look at this cosmic time, and even this inundation, that's one interesting thing, you know. That this pastime was not proper inundation. It's not the end of the Brahma's day, so he was wondering, you know, how is that this delusion happened in that irregular time? It was not time. It was not the end of the Brahma day. It was before noon sometime. How is that happen? And it's mentioned before that once Lord Brahma put Brahma, Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, he put Brahma in illusion. So he felt sleepy during the day. So Lord Brahma just nod off. And whenever Brahma sleeps or nods off, there is inundation, there is devastation. And according to that, he put Brahma in illusion for the reason also. To show the what's the name of this? Inundation, he showed to the Satyavrata Muni, is it? Yeah. His name is Satyavrata. Yeah. To show the power of illusion. Satyavrata Muni was asking, requesting the Lord to show him the power of illusion in that time. And the Lord said, just wait, I will. So to fulfill his desire, he created Brahma to nod off and devastation took place. And these all pastimes happened in that time. This devastation actually was not due to Hiranyaksha being so powerful and he threw the earth and water and he created, you know, maybe by illusion he was thinking he is doer, he is powerful as a god. He is devastating everything. But it was just all orchestrating Lord's pastime. If you just see the network, the diadem of Lord's intentions, Lord's plans, so wonderful. And all these small personalities, demons, they are just actors who think I'm a doer, kartahamiti manyate. They think they're doing things. But that's Lord's pastime. So this is why happened, this delusion. Delusion happened. And then all this pastime happened of Diti and Kashyapa and birth of two demons. Where was Kashyapa Muni's abode? Where he was residing? Do you know that? Where was his residence? Prabhupada said it's around Caspian Sea. This is a region down in, between Russia and Kazakhstan and then all these countries there. And Iran, most probably this where happened, in a region of Iran. All this pastime happened there. Jai Shishirada Gokulananda Paita Pavanam. So also like these just incredible pastimes. Like probably all of you have seen the Nrsimka Avatar movie. You could see this like a part of it at the beginning, like Lord Varaha appearance and an incredible maid. So I was just thinking, one thing is that there are so many movies now, even devotees making incredible AI movies about different parts. Some of them are wonderful. I shared with devotees, like Dhruva Maharaja's stories, then Sakshi Gopal, such an amazingly made, beautiful. And then there are quite few versions of Nrsimhadev appearance. But when you watch those, all of the devotees, so wonderful to see. But after watching once, twice, things to become desensitizing, kind of. That's a power, you know. So many movies, and like so, it's much better to read about pastime, and then have your own picture of it, and then your emotions within, than just watching the movies, because movies just tiring, draining you. So to read about it, much better. So to distribute these books is such an incredible thing. It can bring back life to the people, you know. Now, especially now, it's very difficult. People just sitting and watching movie after movie after movie after movie. Even if they see this, just one of them. And then what's the result is draining and dryness and dissatisfaction. So books are like saving, like incredible. I was thinking the other day, like how Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would be so satisfied, like which he could comment and see. Of course, he sees what Prabhupada did, like incredible. What Prabhupada did, spread movement worldwide, so wide. It would be like I'm thinking that there's no limit how much blessings he bestows upon Prabhupada, about all of devotees who spread this mission, how happy he would be. This was his dream, to spread the movement in such a way. How just satisfied he would be. And just I was thinking of this in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati the other day, his appearance there. Incredible, you know. And then all this disruption which happened, like within Vaishnava community, different maths, you know, who come and they just disturbing minds of devotees, pulling them to their side, you know, taking credit for Prabhupada shedding the blood. And what they do, they just picking up few remnants of Prabhupada, chewing on that, and then take credit for that themselves. You know, that they are doers, or they are followers. They glorify them, that this is their credit. It's all Prabhupada's remnants. We all chew Prabhupada's remnants, but we glorify. We don't take credit. And so that's the kind of point that Prabhupada, this incredible thing happened. If we just not even aware yet of this incredible thing, what Prabhupada did and what these book distributors, they do on this during this marathon. It's incredible. They're giving life back to the people. Taking them off. Anyway. Also, you know, all these movie, people watching movies, movie after movie, but they know this all concocted story. Like, you know, somebody else putting your own version in front of your eyes. You know, it's wrong, it's concoction. Actors are not in real life as it is. You know, they are not as brave as in movie, or strong in movie, or their character is also questionable. So you know that. Therefore, you know, I cannot enjoy such a kind of concocted stories. Like, it's not real. But Krishna, he is real. He is strong as it is, much more. He is beautiful as he's described. He is a real person. So mesmerizing pastimes like this. Incredible. So now there's another point I would like to, if somebody online hears, try to help me to understand this point. I ask you also. When Brahma goes to sleep on the end, he said that he takes all denizens of lower planetary systems on the end of Ramadays, not full pralaya. With him, they merge into him, and he himself merges into Mahavishnu and spends his night there, sleeps there. So all denizens merge with him, but higher planets, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, they don't get destroyed. I'm just wondering, do these denizens in those planets stay on their planet without Brahma on their own? Or they also merge with Brahma and they also go to sleep and their planetary systems become awakened like a ghost towns? What happened in that time? I searched a little bit. There's nothing in Srimad Bhagavatam of that. It's just interesting. When Brahma sleeps, do they also go there, or planets are empty? That's interesting. Anyway, so yesterday, Mataji spoke about the wives of Brahma and their progeny. It's interesting that she didn't mention that, but after these 13 daughters of Kashyapa, later on, he married two of his granddaughters. It's interesting. Lord Brahma requested him to marry two of his granddaughters. And out of them, again, set of demons came. It was 60,000 of those, how you call them, Nivita Kavachas. 60,000 demons were born from that again, from this. When Arjuna was on heavenly planets, Lord Indra asked him to go and conquer those Nivita Kavachas. So Arjuna single-handedly went down to the lower regions and killed all 60,000 of them. All of them. So they all killed more or less all deities. Kids are killed, all demoniac. They're all killed. So that's the blessings of the Lord. So now Kashyapa Muni, as he mentioned, just brief here. He's actually, Mahabharata says that he was the author of some books as well. So he wrote a dictionary, Kashyapa Muni, very short, 32 pages only, about describing how to decode the difficult words by dictionary, how to understand these difficult words. And this was the base for the later Nirukti dictionary. This was Kashyapa, his author. Also, he's author of some Vedic hymns, and he was also like a very exalted physician, doctor, expert in how you call this branch of medicine when they taking care of kids and pediatry, yeah, and also gynecology. It was like, you know, he was expert, Ayurvedic doctor. So that's kind of what I have to say about this pastime, incredible pastime, Suditi and Kashyapa. So who was wrong? Nobody was wrong. They are under Mayas. Just playing their role in the Lord's pastime. And everything is arranged. There's no illusion. Inundation happened also due to Lord's will, not due to Hiranaksha's actions. And we have these wonderful pastimes which we can share with people to read, to get attached with, and then get their life back. Is anyone else anything to say? I'm finished now here. Any points somebody has to raise?
I was wondering, what did they do after? So after they broke the...
I think sound is not coming. Is it?
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering, what did Kashyapa Muni and Aditi? Diti? What happened after they broke the principle? How did they? Did they? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Then, What did they do? Did they do something to make up for it?
You mean like do yogis something?
Yeah, just wondering what happened.
I don't
afterwards.
Remember anything described in that sense. You know, Kashyapa Muni, soon as next morning, he took bath and he was chanting the mantras, purifying himself, understanding, you know, this act. And Devahuti was also ashamed. She knew that was wrong. There's not much, maybe some details are somewhere else mentioned. And then he described to her what will happen, and she was happy and relieved that actually this will happen in future with the kids. Did any perform tapasya? That was not necessary, I guess. I don't know, is anyone else something to elaborate on? Maybe you know. They said, for this act, did they perform any like purificatory ceremony, any act, any sacrifice, any yagya, because to get rid of themselves of these reactions? Don't know, is it mentioned anywhere? Yeah.
Or maybe like what should devotees do if it happens in our lives?
If they bloop.
Yeah.
Our Prabhupada said just get up and continue. Worst scenario is to stop practice. You can lament and do anything else you want, but stop practice, there's no. So just continue. Just continue. It'll be better and better and better. There's no, you know. It's good to feel remorse. It'll help you not to do again. After quite some time. It may happen many times, but you just carry on, you know. That's what we do. So, that's it, yeah. Okay, yeah, sorry.
Prabhu, you raised a question about what happens to the residents of the higher planets at the time of the partial annihilation.
Yeah.
So in the third canto, it talks about how, so what's happening is that the lower three planetary systems, Bhu, Bhuvar, and Swarloka, are getting burnt up, they're getting annihilated. And it's described how the heat of that fire is felt on the higher planets, like Maharloka. And so the sages that live on Maharloka, they're getting a little toasted there from the fire below. And so they go upward, they go to Janaloka to escape that discomfort. So they don't die.
Yeah, they don't die. But then fire slowly increases. I mean, in the last pralaya, slowly fire, they also escape, but then fire increasing, and they escape from there, further, on the end. Even Brahmaloka is not safe, and then Brahma takes them all.
Yeah, but that's the end of Pralaya.
Yeah,
that's at the end of Brahma's life.
Yeah. But this happened also during the, on the end of the day of Brahma also.
Partial.
Also fire increases or just lower?
No, at the end of his day, it's only the lower, it's only the Bhuvar and Swarloka.
Yeah, so Janaloka, Tapaloka.
They remain and the inhabitants remain.
Although it's hot, but yeah.
Just Mahaloka gets a little warm.
Yeah. So my question was, do they stay when Brahma sleeps? So
apparently the universe, they stay, because it talks about how Bhrigu and other munis, they stay, they go to...
So they're without Brahma, without Lord Brahma, they're waiting.
Well, he's sleeping, you know, like let's say your father goes to sleep, you stay awake, you know. It's not that long for them, it's just a night.
Yeah. Maybe they also sleep. They need to sleep sometime, I think.
They might take a nap too.
They're all tapasvis. The pasu is there, like all his performance austerities.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't sleep. And that's interesting. Who can understand the universe anyway? Jai Shri Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahapurana Ki Jayo, Gaur Purnanda.